So we played our first game and we finished, and I pretty much felt like I was dead. We've played a couple more weeks now. We finished this last game and I felt like I was about to die. It's kind of an improvement. I'm hoping by the end of the season that when the games are over, I'll only feel like I want someone to kill me.
So that, like, that reminds me of when I started training for that first half marathon I did. And I got one of those couch to 5K, and then I did a couch to 10K, and then ultimately a couch to half marathon app, which I've learned the hard way. I could have just bought the couch to half marathon and started from the beginning, but I'm an idiot, so I bought three apps for one thing. But like literally the first time I went out running, I came back, I looked at April and was like, so this isn't going to probably work because I'm dying. And I remember the first time I ran 3 miles straight without stopping, thinking to myself, I still hate this and this still sucks, but I just ran 3 freaking miles. But yeah, no. I understand that thought process of just wanting to get to the point where all you want is someone else to kill you, not feeling like someone's already started the process.
I also feel an improvement in that I had my second shot of the season, and this time it only went out for a goal kick instead of a throw-in. So we're getting closer to a shot on target.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right. Welcome to episode 9 of the Soccer Chat. We're glad to have you. We're going to do a quick recap of the game with Greenville, as well as give you a preview of the Tormenta game. And of course, a little bit of insight into other things happening around the soccer world. So let's go ahead and jump right in here and talk about that game. You got the chance to go to it directly. You're actually in the stadium. Tell us a little bit about what their stadium setup's like, any of that type of stuff. Did you get to see the riot at all or any of that stuff?
I saw them. They were over on the other side of the field. They were loud. They were beating drums. They had a good atmosphere. They did a good job keeping it up for the whole game. So the owner was very classy, came over to our small little traveling section and thanked us for coming out. So I really appreciated that. They were all, you know, everyone, as you were walking through the gates, seeing the Chattanooga Red Wolves stuff, they were all real friendly. Hey, welcome. Glad y'all could make it. Thanks for coming. The stadium itself is a really neat setup. It's a they play at Legacy Early College, which is like a charter high school that's there in Greenville.
Okay.
And so their setup is very similar to the Chattanooga Christian setup that the Red Wolves are playing with right now. So they've got a little bit of a taller home stand.
Okay.
So it goes back a little farther. They've added on either end of that. They built an end zone stand for the riot at one side. And then on the far side, which you couldn't see on the TV with the cameras, there was about 3 rows deep of field level seats that when I looked at the box office will call area on our way into the stadium was really expensive.
Okay.
But it was really close up to the field, so I'm sure it was probably a pretty good experience. But we still, where we were, it was a little hard to see in the corner on the same side we were sitting, you know, like down that far end. But there was still really good sight lines. Like I said, it was an absolutely perfect night to be sitting outside, especially as a fat guy. And they, because it's not a Christian charter school, they were able to sell beer. So I did enjoy a beer while we watched the match. And everything but the outcome was lovely about the evening. Greenville was really cool. I want to go back and do non-soccer things in the city of Greenville.
I think the last time I was in Greenville was over 20 years ago, and I'm pretty confident it's like Chattanooga in that it's changed significantly in the last 20 years. Because that was not the impression I had 20 years ago. It was like, okay, then let's leave.
Size-wise, it was much more comparable to Chattanooga than I thought that it would be. I thought it would be quite a bit smaller, but it really was not. It was, the downtown area was just like going through downtown Chattanooga down Broad Street and Main Street, Barkett Street.
So are they building, this is going to show my ignorance here, but they do have plans to build a soccer-specific stadium as well, correct?
That is correct. I don't know if they've broken ground. I don't know if they've announced an actual location.
Okay. It's because I'm pretty sure the only ones that Broken Ground is the South Georgia Tormenta FC 1, which is how I think we should announce them when they come on the field on Saturday. That way we don't confuse people for when we play South Georgia FC Tormenta 2, former PDL USL League 2 team.
Yes, that should also be what they put in the thing on ESPN Plus when they're showing the scores. Just feel like little 10-point font.
That would be good stuff. All right, so the actual game, there was one of the things that was driving me nuts, and you didn't have to deal with this until you rewatched it because you're obsessive compulsive and rewatched the game later, but
we really were just watching to see ourselves on TV. But
well, did you catch the fact that the announcers couldn't seem to get over the fact that that first goal was offsides? Like, they talked about it for another 45 minutes of gameplay. They kept referring to the first goal that got called back. And I'm like, I've watched enough soccer to know that when an offsides goal happens, you talk about it once and then you move on because it wasn't a legal goal.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, on second inspection, a good call by the referees.
Yeah.
One of the few he made that game.
I think he was a little gun shy, like afraid that he was going to have another Ignite versus Greenville type game, because he had a quick card call a couple times, and a few of them, even the Greenville announcers were like, I don't even know if that's a foul.
Right.
Much less a yellow card. Yeah, there was a couple of just outright poor calls on that. But the fact of the matter is, I finished watching that game and said to myself, 1-0 loss is actually better than we deserved. Like, that was not a good showing. I felt like they probably squandered 2 or 3 really good chances, and we squandered 1 or 2. So let's say we all got our good chances in, they still win that game 4-2. Like, that's, it was just poorly played, in my opinion. I don't understand the idea of trying to sit back and let them attack you like that if you don't have the midfielders in the between to take the ball to the forwards. Like, your counter can't just be your defensive player or your goalie kicking it to the forward and hoping he turns and shoots.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. The thing that I keep seeing is players on the ball taking too long to get rid of it. You look at the goals that they've scored so far, it's ping-ponging around. They're playing quick touches to each other. As a unit, you can see their skill is superior. What I feel like tends to happen, these guys are feeling like they have a superior skill to the person that's defending them, and they're trying to beat that guy one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then they're losing the opportunity. And that was being in the stadium, being close to the field. There was a few times where I heard Captain Stephen Beattie trying to encourage people to play that early ball, to not let it get stuck in your feet, you know, to be moving off the ball, to be ready for those passes to come through quick.
Yeah, and there was some good runs made off ball that were just missed, like especially up the left side. I saw 2 or 3 runs up the left side that were wide open that just never got the ball to them. And by the time they were ready to, the defender had gotten into the passing lane and they got cut off, which led to very, very risky counterattacks happening.
Right.
Just overall, I was not super excited with the way it went. I still feel like this is not the type of style that Hankinson really wants to run. It doesn't seem like it fits with everything like that you listen to him talk about or you read about. Ira Jersey had that really good write-up with Coach Hankinson this past week where he talks about Hankinson's view on how soccer should run and how you should turn things into attack. He seemed to imply that he thinks attack should be in a constant state of mind for everyone on the field.
Right.
And that seems to contradict what I've seen the last 2 games.
No, and I think it goes back to holding the ball too long, not trying to work it up the field. They're instead of getting a ball and working it to make some passes to get up the field and put the other team on their heels, they're sinking in, they're letting the other team possess the ball and come at them. And they're trying to hit a long ball. And then once they clear out, and this is exactly how Greenville scored their goal, They get it up there. They get one chance. It doesn't work. And all of a sudden they get caught on the counter. It seems like we're having some trouble dealing with a little bit of the speed that's in this league. There's a lot of young, inexperienced guys, but by golly, are they quick and they're getting by people.
Yeah, and that worries me a little bit because you can't teach speed. But the problem is we built ourselves on veteran leadership, veteran presence. And I feel like a veteran presence shouldn't be struggling with one-touch football.
Right.
Still at this point, I still feel the best guy on the field, bar none, has been Stephen Beatty. But I felt like in this game, he kind of disappeared for a while.
That's very true.
And that was kind of surprising. There was actually a person on Twitter who pointed out, and he kind of did it sarcastically as a question, but his question was, hey, when is Chattanooga going to start attacking before they're down? Like, so if you look at honestly, even the game they won 1-0, they didn't really seem like they were attacking at any point in that game. And then in the North Texas game, they didn't start attacking really and getting into their flow until there were 20 minutes left and they're down 3. This game, they didn't seem to get in their flow until there's 20 minutes left and they're down 1. So I'm wondering, what was the difference? Like, what made them suddenly seem to get possession? Did the other team change their tactics that much? It didn't seem like, to me, they did. They were still trying to attack on the counter. So what do you think changed it so much?
I think they realized they were down. They were about to lose the game. They're about to be 3 games in with only 3 points. I thought that Sito Sione gave a really good spark off the bench, as well as Jonathan Caporelli. He had a really long run where he was fouled about 7 times, and then when he finally got away from the guy to break away, the referee stopped play for all of those 7 fouls that had happened.
Yeah,
not that I'm bitter.
No. I was pretty angry.
But I thought he also did a good job affecting the attacking play on that. So, yeah, I feel like maybe there are going to be a few lineup tweaks to try to get that midfield going so that they can try to maintain some possession and attack. I don't think we're up to threat level midnight yet because it's still early in the season. But we are going to have to get points on the road if we're going to have any chance of competing for a league title.
The one thing that is good about this league is it is a 10-team league and 4 teams make that championship. That said, one of the teams that I did not expect to be one of those 4 teams looks like they're going to be, and that's Dallas. North Texas, even though they're really just Dallas with younger players. But North Texas, once again, had another win, this one over Madison, 1-0. And it was a contentious end, to say the very least. They got a penalty kick in the 94th minute in that game. But I watched the replay of it. It is a penalty kick. Like, he took the guy out. Like, the guy had already done a touch on the ball, but he took him out in the penalty box, and the ball wasn't out of bounds yet when he was close enough to be able to get to it. So that's a penalty. It doesn't matter if it's the 94th minute or the 53rd minute. That's a penalty. I'm sorry, guys. And I really feel bad for their goalkeeper because North Texas could easily won that game like 5-0. Like, their goalkeeper was stout for Madison in that game. But I watched that whole game and went, oh, crap. That game versus us where I felt like we gave 2 goals away, that could come back to haunt us big time because North Texas, I think, assuming they don't lose all their players to Dallas at some point, they're going to continue to be good for a while.
That's the good news is we don't have to play them again until July. And so there's a really good chance that Ricardo Pepi could get called up.
But he's not the only one there. Like, honestly, like that whole, you talked about the young, fast guys. That's basically their whole team is young, fast guys. And our team is the exact exact opposite of that, unfortunately. Other than Mare, who's really fast, and Richard Dixon, who's really fast, I'm not thinking of anybody that I think to myself, these guys are your go-to guys. Now, my player of the game for our game was Vangel. I don't know what it was like live, but he consistently was in the right place to stop attack, as well as consistently making the right pass to get something started. He had a number of crosses that were really nice. He was my player of the game.
Yes, he's really starting to find his place out there on that left side. I think he has as much of a dominant spot there as you have Richard Dixon on the right side of defense. I feel like the defense played pretty solid trying to clear. There was a few times where we had some trouble clearing the ball, but for the most part, the back four seemed very set. Leo Fala has come in the last two games and played in center, and I thought he did a very good job, although he unfortunately got beat on the goal.
Yeah.
So I think the defense is set pretty well. It's just trying to find that right mix of strikers and finding out how we can get a spark in the midfield to try to get things going forward. And so, when that happens, Vangel is the kind of player that's going to be up that left side sending crosses in.
So who when you look at our midfield that we started, so you had Soto, you had Stephen Beattie was at the top, but he really plays as a midfielder. You had Connor Doyle in the middle, and then you had I'm going to mispronounce his name as I always do. Uefi, is that right?
Uefi,
Who I thought played really well as well. Who of that group do you think is most likely to be the odd man out if they were to try to switch it up and put either Pineda or there, or even the new signee Jamie Dell in to try to change some things up?
Right. An idea that's forming in my mind is even looking at moving Stephen Beattie back to the midfield in place of probably Josue Soto. I feel like there was more that I wanted from him in this last match. I remember in some of the preseason games watching him get out to the wings and send in crosses on some pretty good runs. He did not seem as active in this match. He had a few good combination plays on the wing, but not too much. I could see Steven moving back for him and using Juan Mare and Sito up front with Ayman Zayed, or even someone like Jonathan Caparelli, who's shown a lot of versatility all up and down the left side.
Yeah. So Caparelli, isn't he normally a defender? Like,
he was originally signed as a defender. He, through preseason in these first few games, has played all three positions on the left side as a defender, as a left midfielder, and as a winger.
Okay. So he's similar to, like, the fact that he came as a defender and they've used him in the midfield is similar to the way that we've been utilizing Connor Doyle, who came in as a forward, but we've been using him in the midfield.
Or even Andrew Mullen has captained the center of the defense when he was signed as a midfielder.
Okay. I didn't know Mullen was signed as a midfielder. I was under the impression he was signed as a defensive player. Okay. So when Tony Walls comes back from his suspension that's remaining from championship, which should be the next game, do you think he jumps in the starting lineup?
Yeah, Saturday was the last of the suspension. He was also battling an ankle injury, so I'm not sure if the ankle is 100% or no. He's another one that I would see maybe rotating in for Connor Doyle, with Wolefe, Tony Walls as holding midfielders, and Stephen Beattie as an attacking midfielder. I think that really livens up the midfield.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, well, that's going to bring us to the end of our discussion when it comes to the game we just had. When we come back from the break, we're going to turn our attention to the upcoming game with Tormenta and what we expect from that. So catch us on the other side. Soccer Chat is proud to be part of the Beautiful Game Network. Head over to bgn.fm to learn more about wonderful podcasts that cover everything from USL League One through the Premier League and then to the women's game, as well as the bgn.fm written arm, which will provide you with in-depth articles focused on all aspects of soccer. That's bgn.fm, the Beautiful Game Network. All right, so let's turn our attention to this game that's upcoming. We've talked a little bit about it. We'll be playing Tormenta at home, which is good to have him back and good to have another home game, another chance to see him out there. Tormenta just barely played themselves to a tie today. I don't know if you got a chance to see any of that, but they scored in the 94th minute on a really ugly play, which I will caution anyone who has not seen it. It involves somebody eventually being taken off on a stretcher, So if you haven't seen it, and you struggle with those type of sites, I would just take our word for it that it was a deflection goal. But so that game was a 1-1 tie with
Orlando City.
Thank you. With Orlando City B, which gives Orlando City their first point and then takes their first drop points by Tormenta of the season. So Tormenta is going to be coming in on 7 points going against our three. So I think it's really imperative that we come away with three so we don't end up letting them get too far ahead.
I don't want to be, well, actually, guy, but they actually are, with 4 matches, they have 2 wins, 2 draws, so they're on 8 points.
Okay, sorry, my bad. I forgot they had that midweek game. All right, so how much do you know about Tormenta's style?
When I watched their opener against Greenville Triumph, they really seemed to want to pound the ball down the wings and put crosses in. I think they're another young team with a lot of speed. I remember watching that first game and feeling very confident. And now with the way that the season has progressed the first 3 games, I just don't, until the team shows me that they're going to put someone away, I don't have a lot of confidence. But I think getting to those wings and putting crosses in is going to give a lot of trouble to the back line. Yeah. And
I do think
Mangles.
One thing that our team's experience will provide us is when we do have those 2-0 leads, we're the least likely team in the league to give those up. And I'm basing that off of the way we parked the bus on our 1-0 lead that we had on forward. You get us more than a one goal lead, I think we know how to control it and make that difference. So that's the one thing I am excited about. And I do think we're going to see better finishing. Like Stephen Beatty, when he was down, I think where you guys were sitting, had that first shot attempt that, honestly, if he had gone left or right with any power, I think it's a goal.
Yeah, I don't know that he was fully expecting that to be laid off for him, and that ended up going straight at the goalkeeper. It was a really good chance.
And then the cross that went across to Eamon Zayed, that was just legitimately ballerino miss on the whiff, that any contact whatsoever towards the goal, there was no chance they had. And then there was the bad, really bad call by the ref where Eamon had gone straight up. Yes.
Where he was,
and the goalie landed next to him, and then he turned. The whistle had already been blown, so he wasn't really trying to put it in the back of the net when he took his shot. Because it went right at the player, and they'd made a comment on the broadcast. So we went, the defender was there anyways. I'm like, no, that was not a normal shot. That was a frustration kick it forward because he heard the whistle.
Not to mention, it would have bounced off that player's foot, and you never know if someone gets a toe poke in there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could have happened prior to the whistle.
So there's definitely reason for optimism, but I walked away without that optimism, which is why going into this game versus Tormenta, I really, really am hoping for just a dominant performance, one that I can walk away and go, we won 3-1, we won 2-0, and really have that confidence that I had going into the season that currently, honestly, I just don't have. I think I'm sitting there going, I really hope we're not fighting for fourth, because as an Arsenal fan, I'm already fighting for fourth on one league. I don't need another.
Well, as a Timbers fan, not fighting for anything anymore.
Yeah. So full disclosure on that, I told you earlier in the season, I was like, hey, I think I'm going to start following an MLS team. I refuse to follow Atlanta because I just hate Atlanta sports. The only Atlanta team I have is the Braves, because my grandfather basically forced it on me when in the 80s when I would come visit. And he would jokingly say that I could wear my uniform and have a chance to play. And me being a 7-year-old kid thought, okay. But he basically forced me to not be a Dodger fan, which I'm thankful for now. But that's my only Atlanta team. All other Atlanta sports, I just can't stand. And I know that there's a ton of Atlanta United fans that are also fans of the Red Wolves. And I don't disparage you for being an Atlanta United fan. Great for you. I hope that they continue to pull in great fans. They won't. But so I said, okay, I'll start watching, the Portland games, just because you're going to talk about them anyways. I might as well know what the heck you're talking about.
I'm not. Yeah, and you
it's all my
back.
Fault. Yeah.
It's
the only logical conclusion is that I'm the reason that they're doing so poorly, which would make sense, because if you look at my other sports teams, they're not traditionally known for being powerhouses. It's in other sports. Like Arsenal, yes, but I'm a Clippers fan. The Braves managed to win a million division championships and only one World Series with the most dominant pitching of a generation. I'm a Carolina Panthers fan because my Los Angeles Rams left me as a kid. And everybody knows how bad the Panthers choose to lose games. Jake DeLome, I'm looking at you. I'm a USC fan, but not just for football. So I've watched our feudal basketball team. I'm not a huge swimming fan, which is where most of our national championships are in. I enjoy when they're like, USC, home of the most national championships in all of college sports. And then you look at the list, it's like water polo, swimming, golf, tennis, like all the rich people sports. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's where all the movie stars pay to have their kids go. I'm just adding one more team. Adding one more team to my list of futility, so you can thank me for that.
Well, I tried a huge reverse jinx, and
the upside is they turn it around anytime soon. It's MLS, so almost every team makes the playoffs. So you still have a long way to go before you have to really be like, well, the season's over. So that's the good side of it. All right, so once again, we do not have a guest or anything for today's show. So is there anything you want to cover before we wrap this thing up?
Wednesday, we'll find out who we get to play after we beat South Georgia Tormenta SC2 team in South Georgia for USL League 2. My guesses are either Birmingham or Charlotte.
My prediction is Birmingham. But you know who else is going to be lingering there? Nashville. And so Chattanooga to Nashville, they may just not realize Birmingham is the same distance. So I think it's really Birmingham or Nashville. Because Charlotte, I think, is getting Greenville or South Georgia. Is my guess.
That makes sense.
And if it's Greenville, I think you're almost guaranteed Greenville-Charlotte. But I wouldn't be surprised if we got Nashville because of the fact that we both are in Tennessee. I would like to play Birmingham because the Legion are a little bit less geared towards being an MLS team. And I think that's a stadium I would like to go visit, which I really have no desire to go to Nashville's. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, this released on a Tuesday. So we're about 4 days away from the game on Saturday. Hope that you guys will be there at the game. If you're not at the game, catch it on ESPN Plus. It is a very good setup that we have there, and the camera setup for the Chattanooga games is one of the better ones that I've seen as I've watched a bunch of replays. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Thanks, everyone.
They're still doing Chattanooga as CHT, which is Charlotte's, like, shortening. Like, just do CHA. I mean, it's literally the three-letter shortening for the airport. Like, I don't understand. I've never seen Chattanooga be CHT. That's always been Charlotte. Or Charlotte's, like, a CTL sometimes. But
I also enjoy the people who feel the need to say South Georgia Tormenta FC.
Like, the full thing?
Yeah, let's just call them Tormenta.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a cool name.
Yeah.